Here to debate, Emmanuel Macron and Marine Le Pen go head to head on several critical issues. They both appeal to their bases just days ahead of France's runoff vote. But who was more convincing? This is Inside Story. Hello, welcome to the programme. I'm Hashim Ahlbarra. With just days to go, the French presidential contenders have held a televised debate. Emmanuel Macron and Marine Le Pen are each trying to convince French voters they are the right candidate for the job. But a lot has changed since they first went head-to-head in the 2017 election. Ukraine is at war, the EU is in crisis after Brexit, and France is facing numerous challenges. Opinion polls suggest Macron may have a lead, but it's a tight race and anything could happen. We'll bring in our guests in a moment. First, Natasha Butler reports from Paris.
It didn't take long for things to become tense. Soon after the start of the French presidential candidates' debate, the centrist incumbent Emmanuel Macron put the far-right candidate Marine Le Pen on the spot by questioning her links to the Kremlin and a Russian bank loan that funded her 2017 campaign.
You were one of the first European leaders in 2014 to recognise the annexation of Crimea because you depend on the Russian regime and you depend on Mr. Putin. Madame Le Pen, you took out a loan in 2015 from a Russian bank, the first Czech-Russian bank, which is close to the government.
The presenters repeatedly called for calm as the candidates disagreed over issues including climate change, education, immigration and the European Union. Macron believes the bloc should be stronger and Le Pen wants to diminish its power. The far-right leader also said she would make it illegal for Muslim women to wear the headscarf in public if elected. Macron said such a move would provoke a civil war.
I believe the headscarf is a uniform imposed by Islamists, that most young women who wear it have no choice.
France, country of the Enlightenment, of universal values, would be the first country in the world to ban religious symbols in public space. The first country in the world. That is what you are proposing.
At times, Macron seemed overconfident or on the attack, but for most of the debate, he clearly had the upper hand, leaving Le Pen looking frustrated or confused. Her performance wasn't a total rerun of the 2017 election debate with Macron, a disaster by her own admission, but it wasn't far off, although she gained ground on some social issues, including healthcare.
The reality is during your presidency, Mr. Macron, it's only crises that make you act. There had to be a pandemic to make you realize that health workers have been in a terrible way for years.
For nearly half a century, presidential candidates in France have faced off live on TV in a debate that's usually watched by millions of people and is often a pivotal moment in the election. From fiery exchanges to theatrical flourishes, the debates are often highly anticipated by viewers and rarely dull. Over the years, the protagonists and politics have changed, but one thing has remained constant. The person most widely perceived to have won the debate often wins the election. Voters on Sunday will now decide whether history will repeat itself. Natasha Butler, Al Jazeera, Paris.
Let's bring in our guest in the French city of Saint-Malo, Jacques Roland, Senior Research Fellow at the Global Policy Institute. In Paris, Famke Krombouler, political analyst focusing on Europe. And in Bristol, UK, James Shills, Professor of French Politics at the University of Warwick. Welcome to the programme. James, there is a prevailing sentiment that Macron was more convincing during the debate. But is this on its own enough for him to win the election?
I think that is indeed the prevailing sentiment. Marine Le Pen needed to do two things in this debate. She needed to do much better than in 2017 when she had a disastrous debate, appearing ill-prepared and out of her depth and simply unfit for the highest office. This she did achieve, coming across as much calmer, mm-hmm. more on top of her brief, more serene, less excitable, less aggressive. However, she did not achieve her second objective. She needed to land some real blows on Macron to close the gap in the polls, and she didn't manage it. Mm-hmm. A draw was always going to be good enough for Macron, but Le Pen needed a win. And what we got, I think, was a draw or maybe even a win on points for Macron.
Okay.
So I don't think the debate in that sense shifts the picture much.
Jack, anyone would be looking for a moment that would be widely seen as a game changer during the debate. And for many, that didn't happen. But for the time being, does Le Pen has a chance to narrow the lead of Macron within the coming days before the vote?
No, I don't think so. I think yesterday, as James said, she needed to challenge the president, and she did not do it. Instead, actually, Macron was the most offensive, and Marine Le Pen was very much on the defensive. And when it came to, yes, she improved her composure and so on, but the debate showed that she still is not really credible, that she doesn't master the briefs that she's meant to defend, especially on the economy and on Europe. And therefore, she did not appear more competent. She appeared more composed, but instead, she will have probably comforted her position, her supporters, but I don't think she gained any votes at all last night.
Famke, do you think that she gave the impression to many people in France that she would be the right person to rule the country?
No, and I think this is actually exactly the right question. As was just alluded to, I think the way that she performed, even though her posture was much calmer, she kept on looking at her notes, and she did have multiple moments at which she wasn't really able to respond to Macron's level of technicality and expertise. On the other hand, I would say that Macron, even though he performed very well in terms of content, especially with regards to Marine Le Pen, and in comparison to her, his posture, I think, actually really risks a reinforcement of a prevailing picture amongst many French that think that he's arrogant and therefore also detached to a certain extent from the reality of what the French live every day. So that's the risk that I see on his side. In terms of game changer, definitely not a game changer, but I think a debate that if it was watched by somebody who was hesitant and tilted towards Marine Le Pen, maybe that's a voter that could have gotten convinced that she's not in a position to rule a country.
James, to what extent has the war in Ukraine undermined or could undermine her, Le Pen's chances to win the election?
Oh, I think this is a serious area of trouble for Le Pen. Her past position on especially vis-a-vis Russia. Now, she has done quite a lot to position herself, let's say, by comparison to Éric Zemmour, who was the other far-right candidate mm-hmm. in the race for the first round. Now, Zemmour was much more, let's say, anti-taking Ukrainian refugees. Le Pen made a point of saying, no, not only will we take them, we'll send a bus to pick some of them up. So she has been trying to get on the right side of history in that sense. But it is a problem area for her. And her past relations with Putin, her indebtedness, her party's indebtedness to a Russian bank, all of this feeds into a picture that is very problematic for Le Pen in terms of Russia and Ukraine.
Jack, are we likely to see this race being centred on issues such as immigration and Islam, and particularly Le Pen's position on the ban on the wearing of the hijab. Does it explain why Macron sees the opportunity, saying that if she goes on that, that could trigger a civil war in France?
Yes, obviously that was really a weak point in her position, because regarding headscarf, you know, one point must be made is that the aim yesterday, Marine Le Pen should have tried to attract the Mélenchon voters, but her position on Islam will completely repulse them at all. And Macron was quick, very quick to point out that, and point out the issue of the headscarf. As he said, it would be the country of enlightenment would be the only country in the world to ban headscarf. So he made a clear point, and he reproached her for linking the headscarf with Islamism and terrorism. And that is not right. Mm-hmm. She was on weak ground. Instead, the problem for her is that the issue of the headscarf kind of hid or concealed all the other issues that she would have liked to develop on linking its security to immigration. So for that, the headscarf was a godsend for Macron, and I think here he scored heavily against her. Maybe some people think it was a bit strong to say that such a position would probably lead to civil war. That's what your supporters say. But on the whole, most people in France agree that his position is a right one, while hers is not right at all. It's a position which can only appeal to her supporters, mm-hmm. and will not broaden her appeal.
Famke, she has, Marine Le Pen, has reinvented herself in a way or another, softened her stance when it comes to many issues, particularly the issue of the EU, where now she says that she's happy with a reform from within, not taking the whole France out of the bloc. Has this been a very good point, a selling point for her, helping her build a robust support base over the last few weeks?
I mean, it's interesting because when we just take a step back and look at history, she has moved from calling for a Frexit, so France leaving the EU, towards calling for a Euro exit, which at the time, 1 or 2 weeks ahead of the election in 2017, she retracted on, and to now not calling for any of the two anymore, and just remaining Eurosceptic. She's doing this because actually majority of the French are not Eurosceptic at all, mm-hmm. something that is very much confirmed by the polls. And so she's trying to gain votes. But the problem is that if you really look at her program and what she suggests, a lot of the things are actually not only anti-constitutional in France, but they're also incompatible with EU law, and would de facto lead to France leaving the European Union. And this is something that she's not willing to talk about or even willing to acknowledge anymore, but that's the reality of her program.
James, if Macron has been seen as more convincing during the debate, however, many who watched him still say that he looks very arrogant, elitist, and detached from some of the concerns of the poor and average citizens. Is this something that could haunt him in the future?
Undoubtedly. This is his Achilles heel. And it goes all the way back to the Gilets Jaunes, to the Yellow Vest uprising. Macron finds it difficult not to exude arrogance. He did it again last night. If Le Pen went into the debate having to exude competence, composure, Macron went in having to try to underplay his natural tendency to look superior. He didn't achieve that. And this is something that could come back to haunt him, and I would say will come back to haunt him. Because the problem is that this is a runoff that the French didn't want. Mm-hmm. They did not want, they expected it. The polls were clear. This was what, for 5 years, we've been told would be the runoff again in 2022. But when asked, is this the runoff you want? A vast majority of respondents said no. So the first problem is that there is a hunger in France for something different that isn't Le Pen, that isn't mm-hmm. Macron, and that certainly isn't Le Pen versus Macron. So Macron is likely to win this election by default. He won in 2017 through a mixture of his own talent, luck, and default. He's likely to win this one by default. Mm-hmm. And that, I think, is a big burden for him to carry into a new mandate. And I don't think he'll be given much of a honeymoon in that mandate if he is, as we expect, re-elected.
Jack, shouldn't Macron be concerned? Because all those who voted for the far-right, far-left candidate, Jean-Luc Mélenchon, remain quite sceptical. They won't be able to forget anytime soon the clampdown on the Gilets Jaunes. They won't forget the impression that this is someone who has always been seen as friendly towards the bankers and the wealthiest of France.
I would like to tone down what James just said. Mm-hmm. That could have been the impression given before the first round. But between the two rounds, after the first round of the election, Macron went to the contact of the people. Macron went into hostile ground. The next day, on a Monday, he was in the heartland of Marine Le Pen, in Denain, where most people voted for Marine Le Pen. And today again, after the debate, he was in Saint-Denis, where he was, during all these last few days, he's been, what he says, within slapping distance of the public. He's been mingling with the crowd, talking to everyone. And the impression is given, and you can see it on the news reels, on all the news, he's really ready to be challenged. What Marine Le Pen has stayed very sheltered from any kind of position. She's always played on very friendly ground, being surrounded, taking selfies with people, looking like the woman next door, very friendly, understanding the people, etc. But Macron has been to the clash. He's been to the contact. And again, today he was in Saint-Denis, in a town where the Mélenchon vote was 60%, where he only got 20%. Mm-hmm. And there, he mingled with the crowd. So these images are quite strong and undermine the accusation of arrogance. Macron is someone who likes to argue with people, to discuss with people, with anyone, and is quite punitive. He shows that he takes risks. And that's something that people like in him. He's kind of a certain bravado, you would say. Mm-hmm. But he does the job. And I think for his image, he's been very good. His image has changed a lot in the last 10 days.
Famke, but hasn't Marine Le Pen, in a way or another, shaped the political discourse itself in France? She's been shifting the whole narrative towards Islam, security, immigration, amendment of the constitution, anti-separatism law, to the point where Macron himself had to reinvent himself, endorse some of those ideas to appeal to the people who support Marine Le Pen.
I mean, I would moderate it to a certain extent, where I think that the issue of immigration and security has certainly been a very, very important issue in the past and over the past couple of months. And I would certainly agree with the fact that Macron and other politicians have gone into that territory in order to be able to kind of speak to Marine Le Pen voters. But at the same time, and polls also confirm this, the real issue that the French are concerned about either is their purchasing power, the rise of prices and their ability to continue to live, maintaining a certain standard of living. And it's interesting to see that much of the public debate keeps on focusing on security and immigration, when actually the real concern is about purchasing power.
James, when you look at the growing support for Marine Le Pen and for the far-right candidates in this particular election, this is leading many people to say, if Marine Le Pen does not win this election, most likely whoever leads the far right in the upcoming elections, you know, 5 years from now, will definitely become the first far right president of France.
I think there is a graph that points in that direction. If we think now that's three of the last five presidential elections where the runoff has been contested by a Le Pen. Her father, Jean-Marie Le Pen, scored 18% in the runoff in 2002. She herself scored 34% 5 years ago in 2017. If the polls are correct and Macron wins by 55, 56 to 44, 45, she will have put on 10%. To that score of 5 years ago. There is an inexorable logic that seems to suggest that this tide is rising and rising still. And part of the problem here is that Macron, partly through his doing, partly through the tiredness of the old pillars that were the socialists on the centre-left, the Republicans on the centre-right, those pillars have collapsed. Mm-hmm. Macron now stands on a centrist island, surrounded by nothing but extremist parties and leaders. Almost 60%, 58% of the first round vote went to extremist candidates. On the far left, Jean-Luc Mélenchon. On the far right, Le Pen, obviously, and Éric Zemmour. Now, the problem is that unless something else comes along to fill the gaps that have been created since 2017, my expectation is that this upward tide of far right and possibly far left, what's to stop it continuing?
OK. Jack, is it fair to characterise this election as a race between two visions, one which is pro-Europe unity and a Republican ideals, one which has the potential to undermine many of the basic tenets of the French Republican system?
Now, the new divide in France is said to be no longer left and right, but in progressist and nationalist. People who want to open to the world realize that the welfare of France depends on the welfare of Europe, and who are winning France in a way. Yeah, you have two Frances. You have the France, the urban France, the metropolitan France, the confident France, the educated France, and which looks out to the world. And then Marine Le Pen represented the poorer France, the least qualified France, the frightened France, who wants to take shelter behind their borders. And it is a bit like in the Brexit camp, and those who are open and those who are looking back to the past, to an ideal past. Mm-hmm. But I wanted to go back on that. I think that, yes, it's not the extremist vote will carry on, but what we can see in France now, yes, you will have changes. It will be very interesting after the election. The French political landscape is in tatters.
Okay.
And we will see how it will reorganize. And I can see it happening that, for example, on the right, it's quite clear that you will have the Zemmour supporters, the Le Pen supporters, and the people on the right within the Republican, like Ciotti and so on, who share the same values as who are nationalists, souverainists, as we say, as Le Pen, trying to form a group together, which this time will not have the glass ceiling that Marine Le Pen has. And with a different leader, would be a strong force in 5 years' time.
This is going to be my last question to Famke. If Macron wins, do you think he will still have the same luxury to follow his agenda in the future, or do you think that the political landscape itself will be forever changed in France?
The real question, I think, specifically on whether he will be able to implement his agenda will be whether he manages to get a majority in the legislative elections that will happen just ahead of the summer. That will really be key to watch. Apart from that, he will be in his second mandate, so not necessarily seeking a re-election afterwards. So unless we have another crisis, which is something that we need to remember for his current mandate, he had to manage the COVID crisis and the war in Ukraine, then he will, I think, have space to implement his agenda. The question, almost independently or on top of that, is how does indeed the French electoral party landscape evolve? Because as we've seen right now, the traditional mainstream centre-left, centre-right parties are in shatters.
Famke Krombola, James Shields, Jack Roland, thank you very much indeed for your contribution. And thank you too for watching. You can see the programme again anytime by visiting our website, aljazeera.com. For further discussion, go to our Facebook page. That's facebook.com/AJInsideStory. You can also join the conversation on Twitter. Our handle is @AJInsideStory. From me, Hashim Ahlbarra, and the entire team here in Doha. Bye for now.